Good morning, everyone. Thank you for coming this morning to our session on museum expansions. My name's Athena Smith. I'm the collections manager at the Center for Puppetry Arts. To the left here is Catherine Steiner at the Mitt Museum and Scott Pittman at Bonsai Fine Arts. All of us have recently worked with museum expansions. I'm at a smaller institution. Catherine is at a larger art museum, and then Scott is with professional art shipping company. So we're hoping today to give you various perspectives from various size institutions about recent moves that we were involved with. I'm going to get started. I work, as I said, at the Center for Puppetry Arts, and we have recently opened our new museum, actually this morning, about an hour ago. So very... Thank you. So my part of the presentation is going to focus a lot about issues that I experienced during the expansion, during the construction process, and trying to give you guys a heads up of things that you might come across and solutions that we had to those problems. So to give you a little bit of background information here, we began our expansion project back in 2007 with our Believe and Make Believe campaign. This was really got started from a conversations with the Jim Henson family and the Jim Henson legacy. We were going to acquire the largest Jim Henson collection that was available. And so that kind of got us started. As with a lot of museums expanding, the problems in 2009 with the economy crash, we got pretty delayed. We got back on track in 2013, and our projects were going to include a new museum, a new library, new collection storage, as well as renovations to our current building. So, now, how was I going to be involved in this process? I was hired on at the museum in June of 2014 as the only collection staff member, so I pretty much hit the ground running. There was in the past a collections person, but there had been a 9-month period where there was no collections person on staff, and during that time we acquired over 500 Jim Henson puppets. So it was fun. My part of the project of this was going to be deinstalling all the current exhibits, preparing all the objects for the new museum, a very large Henson conservation process. All 500 objects had to be cataloged and then conserved. I was going to be managing multiple storage locations. With the acquisition, we didn't have on-site storage, so we had to get off-site storage for this entire collection. I had to install all the new museums, and then I had to prepare the new library archives, as well as new collection storage, and then move everything. So, a little daunting. So, where am I at today? As I mentioned, the new museum opened about an hour ago. Our new library and collections facility is ready. I've been ordering and assembling shelving, but the actual collections move has not been completed. Large objects have been brought on site, things like that.
Technology.
All right. Hopefully we're good to go now. There won't be blinking on the screen. All right. So, for those of you who are about to embark on an expansion project, I wanted to kind of start the presentation about things that you want to start thinking about from the very beginning. The first thing that you want to think about is what are your staff limitations as well as your building limitations. In our case, when you have a collection staff of one, that's a huge staff limitation. For the building, we are actually still a historic building built in 1918 that was an old school. And due to historic preservation and things like that in Atlanta, there's not been major renovations on the inside. So I had to combat things like uneven floors, narrow doorways, inconsistent environment controls where air conditioning or HVAC units were added at different periods of time. I had no freight elevator, and the only way to get oversized objects in and out of the museum was through this ramp right here. And when you start acquiring very large objects, as many of you know, you start have to get creative with those solutions to get them in. So for our largest puppet, we ended up having to rent a crane to get it over the ramp to get it through the railing because it wouldn't make clearances. The next thing you should start to consider is like what should remain on site. For us, we had already started with several off-site locations in order to store all these new acquisitions. So start prioritizing what should remain at the museum, what can go off-site. And it was kind of touched upon this yesterday with our, with another session, but is your emergency preparedness plan updated? That, I would say, is probably one of the highest priorities, and I cannot stress the importance of this enough because construction problems will inevitably happen, which I will be touching on later in my presentation. Another thing is to sit down with your director or your department head to talk about whether or not you should institute any loan or acquisitions moratoriums. I was expecting to be there to be an uptake in these things after opening. What I didn't realize is that donors got really excited prior to opening and bombarded us with acquisitions. You also want to create a collections contingency budget for when unexpected situations pop up, equipment breaking, or when you have to get new shelving units because you got more acquisitions, or if a staff member quits unexpectedly. Our contingency budget was something that we were able to build in at a later time. We didn't have at the beginning, but it quickly became apparent that it was absolutely necessary to have. And I also want to say from the very beginning, I know we're all nonprofits and we always think small budget, but don't be budget conscious when pitching the initial plan. Think as big as you possibly can. You want to think about equipment that you're going to need for the new space, as well as the interim period or any type of things you'll need for moving. You'll want to think about what collection problems you currently have with storage and prioritize things from there. For us, we didn't have proper bulk storage. That became a number one priority for me and something I really advocated for. And then in our instance, our budget for new collection storage equipment was going to be split up over multiple fiscal years. So I had to start ordering art tills from one fiscal budget, but then shelving came from another fiscal year budget. So you want to make sure you have space to store that equipment and that it will fit with clearances. Good one to consider. So at first I'm going to talk about how I made this happen, and then the second part of my presentation will be unexpected surprises along the way. So first thing, staff limitations. I mentioned that I was the only collections person, so how did I handle doing all of these responsibilities with me being a one-woman show? First thing I did is I got interns prior to major parts of the project starting. And that way I had time to fully train them up, and then I was really able to assign them to help me with cataloging and tracking was a huge help. I also was not afraid to start cross-training other staff members who had an interest in the museum or collections. The exhibitions director, the visitor services person, and then one person from production came to the intern workshops, or I worked one-on-one with them to do just basic art handling, help me get things from storage to other places for install, things like that. And I also want to encourage everyone to seek out professional resources. As some of you were attended in Atlanta this year, it was AAM, and I was able to apply for the Registrar Reinforcement Crew to help me catalog things. So here's a picture of us upon completion of the project, and they were able to help me catalog over 120 of Jim Henson's objects, which was a huge help. And even though it was very time-consuming to plan, in the end, it really paid off. So investigate what type of sources you have around you. Another tip is I got an iPad and Dropbox Pro, which gives you about 1 terabyte of space. Very affordable, $99 a month. It was one of the best things that we invested in. Or, I'm sorry, it's $99 for the year, but it was one of the best things we invested in. It's affordable for a small museum, large institution, but whenever you're managing multiple storage locations and you have multiple people helping you, it was so beneficial to be able to access what we needed anywhere we went. I created templates and then just uploaded them to Dropbox. So wherever I was, I could track things, I could do condition reports, I could make notes to myself, and then access it back at my desk. Another very useful thing that I used is removable labels. They don't have to be expensive, they don't have to be fancy. I used multiple colored sticky notes, and each color had a different indication. One color meant it needed to be conserved, another color meant we were waiting for Henson's to approve the restoration process, and then another one meant that it could go off site. Once again, when you have multiple people working on a project, it is invaluable for somebody to be able to walk in, and no matter who that person is, look at something and go, I know this is what needs to happen. And that was very beneficial. It was also very useful in the tracking, because whenever we took things off site, I was able to tell people, anything with the purple label, let's load up on the truck. I was able to stand at the truck, mark things off the list as they were being loaded, and then on the other end, when they were being delivered, I would take off the label and check it off again, and then I knew that everything had arrived. So it was very useful. So off-site storage. In my case, I inherited off-site storage that was organized in an interesting manner. Once again, I said there was no collections person for 9 months, so when a lot of these things arrived, it just got dumped off-site, and they figured someone would deal with it later. Lucky me. So they did start a little bit to organize, and the way that they started to organize is that they built numbered crates. Each crate could house 16 boxes. They figured that this was going to be a great way to track things as well as move things on-site and off-site in a pretty protected manner. One thing that I did when I came on is I reorganized the crates themselves. I wanted to start thinking ahead for the future collections move. So the inside of the crates got organized by region. Our new collection storage will be organized by region because materials are very similar for puppetry in regional parts of the world. So each crate got organized by a region, and then I would track it through the numbers. Here's the inside view of one of our crates. It eventually became to the point that we had outgrown the capacity of the crates, and I had to start organizing things that were going on exhibit went on top of crates, things that were not going on exhibit could go inside crates. All the crates were on wheels, so it was very easy to move around with off-site storage. And in retrospect, if I had been on this project at an earlier time, I would really recommend shelving units, numbered shelving units, and really investing in that. And just remember that's something that you can reuse in new collection storage, but I inherited it, I made it work. Something else to consider is that when you're renting off-site storage, you may not always have control of what needs to be moved in and out. So we had rented at the Atlanta History Center, and one day I get a phone call and they're like, we have to move Civil War cannons through your space to get them in our museum. So being prepared for those types of situations, and once again, wheels. If it can be on wheels, it is a huge lifesaver. And then despite all the organization, sometimes finding things is still like, where's Waldo? So I really do think that investing in shelving units, if you can, is the way to go. So, the unexpected. What happened along the way that I was quite surprised about? I like to call this the library incident of 2014. So, I learned quickly in the construction process that visitor priorities is what's going to take precedent. Collections is going to come at a later time. So, there were consistent delays in collection spaces. However, the gift shop opened early. So, it was interesting. This was something where we had a leak in the roof, and we had voiced concern about it, and we kept being told, well, you're going to get a new roof soon. Don't worry about it. Delays in schedules. There's researchers in the library one day, and suddenly I hear a loud noise. I go to investigate, and a piece of our ceiling is hanging down. So here's the debris from that, and then our preparator and I cleaned out the area. And for a while, we had an indoor water feature. And what I trash can plastic to funnel the water in there, and that's how we made it happen. So example A of update your emergency preparedness plan, make sure it's part of your budget is to order supplies for said incidents, because you never know when they will strike. Also, next I want to talk about building limitations. Measure everything. Measure your elevator capacity, measure the molding around your doors. Speaking about the different fiscal years, these are the art tools that we purchased, and when they arrived, we realized that while we had measured the door moldings, we did not measure the elevator, so we had to carry them up the stairs. And this was not the only clearance incident that we ended up running into. We learned that the construction crew and your needs were not always well communicated, so one great piece of advice that I have is to have a meeting with the construction crew very early on in the process and explain your needs for clearances. Go ahead and get the dims of the largest object, how you're going to transport that, whether it's going to be crated on a cart, and tell them that you need all spaces to have this clearance. We ran into an incident where they started to put up temporary walls so that way the public would not have to have the eyesore of a construction zone, and my collections cart didn't fit through those clearances, let alone my largest objects. So this meant that I ended up having to wheel objects outside and then through a second set of doors to get them from one part of the museum to another part of the museum. But if you have these conversations with the construction crew early on, hopefully you can avoid incidences such as that. Once again, with issues with the construction schedule not always meeting my needs and visitors being prioritized, I ended up with oversized objects kind of stuck in random places. This incident right here was an oversized puppet who couldn't fit through the single door, and I had to wait about 2 months for the doors to be widened to get it out. When that happens, put signs everywhere. I put signs all over the place, do not stack, do not move without museum staff present, so that way there was no question about, well, that there's an artifact inside, you need me there to move it or anything like that. Another thing about the unexpected, as I had mentioned before, that the initial construction schedule was not followed. Everything was heavily delayed. So for me, the storage situation got very real very quickly. This was my collection storage, and this was actually not even the worst of it. This was taken early on. So as soon as I ran out of space with these buying sprees that my donors were going on, I started to have to get creative. Every open space became a collection storage possibility. Things were covered in acid-free tissue. Things were lined with Tyvek. When that filled up quickly, the next thing I had to do was pack up my library. I started to question these places. Is it climate controlled? Is it lockable? When is it available? So library was climate control. I could lock it, packed up the library. And then I started to install collection shelving in the library and did a trade-off. What I took away is, remember, if carts are great places for storage, once again, they have wheels, so you can quickly move things around if you need to. And don't be afraid to go vertical. If you can see it, we actually start to suspend large, oversized puppets from the ceiling. But when you are cramped on space, it was a great way to store something very large and have it out of the way. I also put things in aisles in collection storage and just made sure that everything was on a dolly or a cart. It was movable. And then here's just another picture. And then my advice is, when things get too ridiculous, just don't be afraid to laugh. Sometimes you have to do that. At one point in time, I had commandeered a space that was climate controlled and lockable, but we had to move collections through the active construction zone. So we put on a hat, jacket, and chuckled the whole way on over. I had touched upon this earlier, but another unexpected thing was the buying sprees. In addition to over 500 Jim Henson objects acquired the year before construction began, it was also a record year for new acquisitions with over 120 global puppets. So I learned quickly for 2015, moratoriums went in effect, no new acquisitions, donate them once we have new collection storage. So a couple last thoughts that I want to leave you guys with is, think big, knowing you'll have to make both budget cuts as well as space cuts. Construction budgets, they'll always run into problems, they'll always be over budget, and you'll end up having to compromise with other departments for space in the end. Be proactive rather than retroactive as much as possible by updating your emergency preparedness plan. Think about worst case scenarios and think about in advance of how you can make your move easier. Organization is a key, but you guys are registered, so you know that. Just come up with a system that works for tracking labels and storage in advance and stick to that for consistency. Be flexible when things inevitably go wrong. Know that things will be delayed, so don't count on a space being ready when you're told it will be. So scope out alternative possibilities, both on-site and off-site, whatever may be available. Even though you have this beautiful new building that you're super psyched about, be prepared for problems. Even after construction was complete and we start to move things in, we ran into roof leaks as well as the HVAC unit not working. So if you have time, monitor conditions before moving collections in and wait for a good rainstorm. And then throughout this entire crazy, stressful, and drawn-out process, keep a positive attitude and a good sense of humor. Don't forget to laugh when things go wrong, and you can always schedule happy hour after work.